I want to start today with a number that, honestly, it made me physically wince when I read it. 20%. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, that's how many new businesses fail within their very first year. One in five. Just gone.
It's a brutal statistic. And honestly, if you zoom out a bit further, it gets worse.
Oh, great.
Nearly 50% of businesses don't make it past year five. So if you launch a startup today, it's basically a coin toss whether you'll still be around in 2031.
That is terrifying because we all have this romantic idea of the entrepreneur. You know, you have the passion, you put in the 80-hour weeks, you build a better mousetrap. But you're saying half the time that mousetrap still ends up in the trash. Why?
Well, there are a million reasons. Bad product, wrong market,
Team drama.
all of that. But consistently, year after year, one of the top causes of death is just insufficient funding.
Running out of cash.
Exactly. Think of capital as the oxygen for a business. You can have the strongest lungs in the world, a great team, a great product, but if there's no oxygen in the room, the organism dies. It's really that simple.
Oxygen. I like that. Or, I guess, I hate the idea of suffocation. So today we're doing a deep dive into the Essential Guide to New Business Financing in America. And the mission is pretty simple. Figure out how to get that oxygen.
Right, so you don't become part of that 20% statistic.
Exactly.
And the landscape in 2026 is it's just fascinating because it's so vast now. It's not just go to the bank on Main Street anymore.
No.
We're talking about everything from traditional loans to algorithmic lending, crowdfunding,
Right.
and some extremely complex retirement account strategies.
Right. And full disclosure here, I'm kind of in that mindset. I have an idea. I want to start a business today.
Yeah.
And I am impatient. I just want someone to write me a check.
And that is exactly why I'm here, to be the buzzkill or,
Right.
to stop you from signing a deal out of desperation that haunts you for the next 10 years.
Fair enough. I need the guardrails. So, okay, let's unpack this. If I need money, the first place I'm looking is my own pocket, betting on myself.
Bootstrapping. It's the most common starting point for a reason.
Doesn't sound so noble, you know? Pulling yourself up by your bootstraps? No debt, no masters?
It does have huge advantages. You keep complete control. You're not answering to a loan officer or a board. And practically speaking, if you do go for bigger money later, investors love to see that you bootstrapped first.
It shows you have skin in the game.
Exactly. They trust you more when they know you have something real to lose. But, and there's always a but, the personal risk is extreme.
Your savings could just evaporate.
Poof! And the source material is very specific here. Financial advisors say keep 3 to 6 months of living expenses completely separate. Don't touch that for the
So
business.
don't zero out the emergency fund just to buy some inventory.
Never. Because remember that coin toss stat? If you lose, you still need to pay rent.
Wise. Okay, but let's say I have an asset. I own a house. I hear about EELOCs all the time, home equity lines of credit. It seems like easy money.
It's accessible, yeah. And the interest rates are usually much lower than a business loan because it's secured debt. The bank feels safe.
Because they have my house as collateral.
Right. Which means you have to ask yourself a very dark question.
Am I willing to bet the roof over my head on this?
Exactly, when you put it that way.
It sounds insane.
It's high stakes. If the business fails and you can't make the payments, foreclosure is a real possibility. You're not just losing a business, you're losing your home.
Okay, let's move to something that doesn't involve me living in a van. I found this next one really technical, but kind of genius, the ROBS strategy.
Ah, yes. Rollovers for business startups. This is for the corporate refugee who has a nice fat 401k but hates their job.
So basically, I can use my 401k to fund my startup without that massive early withdrawal penalty. Because usually the IRS takes what, like 10% plus income tax?
Correct. ROBS lets you bypass that. But, and listen to me closely here, you have to tread very, very carefully. This isn't just taking money out, it's a complex legal maneuver.
So how does it actually work?
Okay, stay with me. First, you have to form a C corporation, not an LLC, a C corp.
Got it.
Then that new C corp has to create its own retirement plan. Then you roll your existing 401k into the new plan. And finally, the new plan uses that money to buy stock in your own corporation.
So my retirement plan becomes my business's first investor.
Exactly. And the IRS watches these transactions like a hawk.
I bet.
They know people try to abuse this. If you make one misstep in the paperwork, you could trigger massive taxes and penalties. This is not a DIY
So
project.
this is not a download a form from the internet situation.
Absolutely not. You need specialized pros for this. It costs money to set up the money.
Okay, got it. Maybe I just ask mom and dad, the friends and family around.
This is where relationships go to die, if you're not careful.
The dreaded handshake deal. Hey, spot me 10 grand, I'll pay you back when we're huge.
That is the trap, the informality. If you take money from friends or family, you need to professionalize it. Because if the business goes under, which statistically it might, that Thanksgiving dinner is going to be incredibly awkward.
So what's the fix?
A paper trail, a real one. Is it a loan? Great. Write up a promissory note. What's the repayment schedule? The interest rate.
Wait, I have to charge my mom interest.
If you don't, the IRS might call it a gift, which has its own tax issues. Or if it's an investment, write down exactly how much equity they get. It protects the relationship because everyone knows the rules.
Wise counsel. Okay, let's leave my family out of it. I want to go to the pros, the bank, and everyone talks about the SBA.
Right, and here is the first big misconception we need to clear up immediately. The SBA does not lend you money.
They don't. I thought I went to the SBA website and applied.
No, the SBA is essentially an insurance agency for banks. They guarantee loans.
Ah, so they're de-risking me.
Exactly. They make the bank feel comfortable saying yes to a risky startup. You still go to a regular bank, a Wells Fargo, a local credit union, to actually apply.
Okay. So what's on the menu? What are the options?
The most popular is the 7A program. Think of this as your Swiss Army knife.
Okay.
You can use it for working capital, buying inventory, whatever. Up to $5 million. The rates are capped, usually prime plus a couple of percent. It's a very solid loan.
What if I want to buy a building? Like actual real estate.
Then you look at the 504 loan. That's specifically for real estate and major equipment. The beauty there is you get fixed rates and long terms like 25 years.
And if I don't need millions, what if I just need like 30 grand to get a small studio running?
Then the big banks might ignore you. So for that, you look at SBA microloans. Up to $50,000, often run through nonprofits who want to help the little guy.
Okay, but for any of these, I assume my personal finances need to be squeaky clean.
Pretty much. You generally need a personal credit score of 680 or higher.
I'm saying.
And you need a detailed business plan with 3 years of financial projections.
Which always feels like creative writing to me. In year three, I will magically make this much money.
It is a guessing game, but it proves you've thought about the math. And crucially, you need to know what kind of debt you need. A term loan or a line of credit.
Break that down for me.
A term loan is a lump sum of cash up front. You get 100 grand, you pay back over 5 years, you use it to buy a specific thing, like a delivery van.
Okay.
A line of credit is like a credit card for your business. You have a limit, say 50 grand, you only pay interest on what you use. It's for managing cash flow, not for buying a building.
Got it. Do not use a credit card to buy a house.
Precisely.
But let's be real here. Banks are slow. This can take months. And I'm impatient. I see those ads online.
Huh.
Get funded in 24 hours.
Ah, yes. Welcome to the fast cash trap.
Why do you call it a trap? It sounds convenient.
Convenience costs money, sometimes an insane amount of money. The online lenders, companies like OnDeck, they're legitimate tools. They use algorithms. It's fast. But the interest rates are significantly higher. You're paying for speed.
Okay. High interest is one thing. But then there's this other thing. Merchant cash advances, or MCAs. The source material seemed really alarmed by these.
For good reason. And frankly, listener, if you take nothing else away from this deep dive, listen to this. Be extremely careful with MCAs. First, an MCA is technically not a loan.
How is it not a loan if they give me money?
Because legally, it's the purchase of future receivables. You are selling them your future credit card sales at a discount.
Whoa. That feels like a loophole.
It is. Because it's not a loan, they often bypass state laws that cap interest rates. They use a factor rate. So if you borrow $10,000 with a factor rate of 1.5, you owe back $15,000.
Okay. $5,000 fee.
But they take a percentage of your daily sales every single day. If your sales are strong and you pay that back in 3 months, that effective APR can be over 100%.
100% interest.
Easily. It drains your daily cash so fast that businesses often take out a second MCA to pay the first one. It's a death spiral.
And I saw something about a confession of judgment.
That's the nuclear option. You sign that, you're waiving your right to a trial. If you miss a payment, they can seize your bank accounts almost immediately.
Okay, note to self.
Yeah.
Steer clear of the MCA. What if I just have unpaid invoices?
That's invoice factoring. You sell those unpaid invoices. They give you, say, 80% of the cash now, and they collect from your customer.
So I get my cash flow, but I lose a percentage. And
you lose control of the customer relationship. Your customer is now paying some other company. If that company is aggressive, it reflects on your brand.
Okay, let's pivot entirely. I don't want debt. I want a partner. I want to sell a piece of the pie. equity.
Now we're talking about investors, but selling ownership.
Let's start with angel investors. I always picture a guy with wings and a checkbook.
Close. Usually it's just a wealthy individual investing their own money. They write checks from, say, 25K up to $500,000.
And what do they want in return?
A piece of the company and a 10x return in 5 to 7 years. But the good ones also give you mentorship.
Versus the big guns. Venture capital, VCs.
VCs are institutional money. They invest other people's money and they write huge checks, millions. But they need massive scale. They need you to be a unicorn.
So my local dry cleaning chain is not getting VC money.
Zero interest. They need you to be the next Uber.
Yeah.
And the trade-off is control.
Right.
When you take VC money, you're putting a rocket engine on your back. You'll go fast, but you might explode. They will take board seats. They can and will replace you as CEO if you aren't growing fast enough.
Here's $5 million. Now get out of my chair.
It happens all the time.
Okay. What if I don't know any rich people? What about crowdfunding?
The internet to the rescue.
Yeah.
You've got rewards-based stuff like Kickstarter. That's great for validating your market. You're pre-selling the product.
But there's equity crowdfunding now too, right?
Yep. Thanks to the JOBS Act. Platforms like WeFunder let you sell actual shares to the general public. You can raise up to $5 million a year that way.
So I can have 1,000 regular people owning a tiny slice of my company. I love that.
It creates a community. Okay, but let's talk about the best price of all. Free grants.
Does free money exist?
Yes, but they're incredibly specific. There is no I have a dream grant. But if you're doing high-tech R&D, look at SBIR grants, federal money for science and innovation.
And for the rest of us non-scientists.
Look local. States and cities have grants tied to job creation. Or look at equipment financing. The machine itself is the collateral. Lenders love that.
Okay, we've covered a ton. But before we wrap up, strategy. I can't just walk in and say, give me money, can I?
No, completely wrong approach. You need to distinguish what the money is for. Is it one-time startup costs, ongoing operating expenses, or growth capital?
And I need to know my liability. Tell me about the personal guarantee.
This is critical. A lot of people form an LLC, a limited liability company, and they think they're bulletproof.
Yeah, that's the whole point of limited liability, isn't it?
In theory. But for financing, no. Almost every small business lender will require you to sign a personal guarantee. Which means you are personally promising to pay back that loan if the business can't. Your savings, your car, they're on the hook.
So the LLC protects me if a customer slips and falls, but not if I default on the loan.
Exactly. That's why building business credit is so important. Get an EIM, separate bank accounts, pay vendors on time. Eventually, you might not need a personal guarantee. But day one, you're on the hook.
Okay. And biggest mistake to avoid?
Yeah.
Besides the MCA trap?
Taking the first yes. Just because someone offers you money doesn't mean you should take it. Shop around.
Yeah.
And read the fine print on prepayment penalties.
Wait, I can get penalized for paying a loan off early?
Yes. Some lenders want their interest. If you pay it off in 6 months instead of 3 years, they lose that profit, so they charge you a fee.
That feels like being punished for doing well.
Welcome to finance. And never, ever mix personal and business finances. It's an accounting nightmare.
Okay, let's bring it all home. What does this all mean for our listener?
It means the path depends on the destination. You have to match the fuel to the engine. A local bakery needs an SBA loan or a local bank.
Not a VC in Silicon Valley.
Right. And if you're building the next AI software, a bank probably won't touch you. You need angels or VCs. Know what you're building first and prepare. Those financial projections aren't for the bank. They're for you.
So you know if the math actually works.
Exactly. And one final thought to leave you with a concept called opportunity cost.
Let's hear it.
We always focus on the interest rate. We think cheap money is the best money. But cheap money, like a bank loan, takes months to get. Expensive money from an online lender takes days.
But sometimes expensive is better.
Think about it. If that expensive money lets you capture a fleeting market opportunity that makes you millions, then paying 20% interest is actually cheap. But if you take expensive money just to keep the lights on in a dying business, that's a tragedy.
It's not just about the cost of the cash. It's what the cash allows you to do.
And how much of your future freedom you are willing to sell for it today.
Wow. Okay, lots to chew on. To all the dreamers listening,
yeah.
Check your oxygen levels, check your sources, and please read the fine print. Thanks for diving deep with us.
Safe investing.